The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, and totally triumphant Tuesday, as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. Amen. First up, people have vastly different perspectives on what real wealth is. Isn't that cute? But God doesn't care about humanity's definition. After all, we are just mud. And then next, we need each other. God made us this way. We need God in our lives the most, but we also need one another to honor God, to please God, and to obey God. And finally, all you need is love. Love, 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 love. All you need is love. But sloppy agape is not okie dokie. We examine the way to know God and what biblical love really is.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? There's three ways to get a hold of us. You know, radio is supposed to be perfect, right? Yeah, forget that. Just like the Christian walk. You're perfect? Yeah, that's why you need grace, because you're not perfect. Here's the bottom line. There's three ways to get in touch with us. You can email david@hemustincrease.org. I will actually get that email because it's actually on my little cheap Chromebook computer. $169 like 900 years ago. Okay, just to let you know. Now, I think they give them away free. Anyhow, you can also call this show, by the way, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. If you call that phone number, Terrific T will answer the phone. It'll be so nice, like a warm blanket right on you while you're sitting in front of a fire. Isn't that nice? And then she'll put you over to me, and then that's like falling in a pool of iodine. You know, it's kind of a different kind of element there. Here's the bottom line. You can also text 214-210-8483. A lot of people like to text. That's a good way to get in touch with us. My phone sits right on the desk, and I'm able to see it right away. We do this for a couple of different reasons, and I want to lift up somebody in prayer and have everybody in the audience lifting him up in prayer. So the owner of the station, Don, briefly came in, said hi. He didn't have a lot of time. He was exiting, and his wonderful partner, Sarah, is not feeling good. So as an audience, we want to be praying for one another, believers, supporting believers, and helping one another. So let's do a quick prayer for her, and then we'll tell you what we're doing with the numbers and the access points. Lord, we ask you to help Sarah in this time. Just help her feel better. No matter what's going on, we don't know. You're a better doctor than us, and that's why we love you and trust you and entrust ourselves to you. And we ask you to bless and strengthen her, give her lots of energy, lots of touch, and lots of your grace and mercy that she might be doing better, that her and Don might be blessed together. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so got that covered, and this is what's important about that. That's what this show is for. It's for prayer requests. It's for praise reports. We just got a praise report yesterday from Alan. His wife was in an accident. She was completely safe. They got a new car, big accident. The Lord protected her. We want praise reports. We want to have the opportunity for pop questions. Eric sent me a pop question. I did a study this morning. It took me about Okay, I'd say 20 minutes, but it's more like 15, maybe 12. But anyway, so I'm going to answer on Friday his pop question, the difference between praise and worship. What a great question, right? And the study that I came across gave me two answers, praise and worship in the Old Testament and praise and worship in the New Testament, and it's not the same. I thought, that is so bizarre. So I'm going to share that. It's those type of things where you get to share and comment and talk about some of the things that the Lord's been working in your lives. And it's just that mindset of a community on the radio. It's all we're trying to do. We're not your church. We're a fellowship and a group of brothers and sisters together. We always tell you to give and take care of your home church first. And then if the Lord blesses you and you have some extra, don't forget about us. We're nice. Mostly, for the most part, depending on what you're listening to. Let's start off with our first trivia question, because that's the other thing that we do. And we do have quite a bit of fun with our trivia question. This is a very easy opener, being super nice to everybody. The Bible talks about a very tiny seed becoming a very large tree. What kind of seed is that? Aha! Got to answer that. All right, keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation. We just ask you to keep it cool. The bottom line is, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, our DNA. DNA is what the building blocks are of who we are made of. Doesn't matter what the news is, doesn't matter what's coming down the pike, doesn't matter what happens 1 week from now, 10 weeks from now, 100 weeks from now, we still have to function in a certain way, our DNA. I'll do it because somebody's calling in, so that way T doesn't have to worry about filling in. So I'm going to give her that little break. The DNA for Christians, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
See, she can still do it. She's a multitasker. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his word, ever. Never be ashamed. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. That's what the Christian is supposed to be made of. That's how you're supposed to function. All that in one breath. That's pretty good, isn't it? All right, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to? Uh-oh, I'm talking to somebody that's busy. Okay, call back. We'll get you right on. No problems. You think, wow, how can you just like have that much energy and talk about these things at such a fast pace? That's why we're going to 90 minutes. Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Well, I'm making it.
That's better than not making it, except for then you're with the Lord, and then that's a good thing too. So that's what we want, is the Lord to be coming home as soon as possible. Bring us all home, even before the show ends. That'd be great. All right, my friend, we're talking about a seed. Starts off pretty small, gets pretty large. What is that?
Are you talking about a mustard seed?
That is correct, sir. You are 100% correct. Much like the mustard seed, so it starts off pretty small. The kingdom of God in our very own lives by faith kind of starts off small. It's kind of an amazing thing we get into. But as time goes on, the Lord creates more and more kingdom operations in our lives. And then it's like a massive tree from where it started as just a small seed. So that's excellent. Good job, Gary.
Thank you.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, my bro. I appreciate you nailing that down right off the bat.
You might say a prayer for me.
Okay, you got it. What you need?
Healing.
Okay, you need some healing? You want to pray real quick?
Okay.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. We lift up Gary to you. Lord, you know. You know what he's going through. And we ask you in the name of Jesus Christ that you would reach into Gary's body and bring healing to him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, that he might know the presence of God and that he might experience relief and grace. And we ask you to do it to the glory of your name and to the blessing of your kids. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right, there we go. All right, here we go. I got, 3 minutes? Yeah, I can do this. Watch this. It's a good thing this one's a shorty. That's all I could say. Hebrews 11:26. For those that have never read the book of Hebrews, oh, come on. You have to read the book of Hebrews. Here's what it says. For he considered, and this is referring to Moses, he considered reproach for the sake of the Messiah to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since his attention was on the reward. All right, three incredible things, four incredible things. One, Moses considered the reproach for the sake of the Messiah. In our country, if somebody gets offended because you're a Christian, the first thing everybody tells one another to do is sue. It's like there's no badge of honor in being persecuted anymore. It's like kind of weird. Look, if somebody doesn't like you because you're a Christian, you're blessed. Because first of all, it's not you. It's that you're identifying with Jesus Christ. And the reproach for the Messiah is in the mind and heart of God of greater value than your checking account. I know it's so hard to believe, isn't it? It's so hard to believe that being reproached for the name of Christ has greater value. But in 100,000 years, the value of gold and silver will not be the value of the presence of God, will it? And you can tell which one has greater value. What's greater value, that which lasts forever and ever or that which does not? And so we understand that that reproach, that people that, oh, you dumb Christians, you know what they say? Oh, those flat earthers. That's what they say. Those flat earthers. Okay, well, we read Isaiah chapter 40, verse 20, 21, 22, where it says that God sits on the circle of the earth. What? He sits on the what? The circle of the earth. Well, wait a second. How much before science is that? That's 400 years before any philosopher ever thought that the earth was a circle. How about that? Yeah, we're dumb. Except our book said it, you know, 400 years earlier. Here's the reality check. Greater wealth in the mind of God. Even, look at this comparison, even compared to the nation's wealth, the nation of Egypt, all of their treasures, doesn't mean anything. Because Mo got it. He understood that the reproach for the Messiah was of greater wealth, of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. By the way, you know what God paid for you by dollar value or by wealth? The blood of Jesus Christ. How much value is that? And the key in this is that last portion, since his attention was on the reward. In other words, Moses focused on the reward. He wasn't thinking about this is what I lost. He was thinking about this is what I gained. I gained eternity with God, walking hand in hand, dancing on streets of gold, hanging out with those who know and appreciate the Son of the living God. That, my friends, that is worth a lot. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
With his special guest today, Focus on the Family trauma specialist, Tim Sanford.
People, as they try to sort this out, they go through this, they go through maybe a litany or a list in their mind and try to evaluate, well, you know, is this this and is this this? And what you said right there is the key, that the core of our strength, the core of our ability to go on yet for another day in the midst of what we would consider to be chaos, both socially, politically, and in other realms, is the Lord. I mean, the Lord gives us the ability. I mean, until he blows that trumpet, we are not done.
Exactly. And that's where we come back to people ask me, well, again, the why questions that people all across the U.S. are asking. And my best theological accurate answer I can give them is, I don't know. I don't stop there. That is an accurate answer. I finished my answer then by saying, here's what I do know.
Excellent.
I know that God is still on his throne. I know that God knew what was going on. I don't know why. Here's what I do know. God is still a loving God. He still is in charge. Here's what I do know.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
The David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget about September and Glenn and their website, livinginhisgrip.com. Free music for you there. We have our Texas Air King trivia question coming up in just a few seconds. First, let's play our clip from Texas Air King.
Up next is Bible Trivia, sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Make sure your home is comfortable in any weather and contact the AC coach today. Call or visit him online at texasairking.com.
There you go, texasairking.com. Don't forget now, Coach is making that deal for people. If you end up you're getting a system with him, you can pay $80 a month, not credit. It's like it's an installment payment, but there's no credit, no anything, and you just pay it until it's paid off, and that's pretty good since the whole process is using a new system will save you that $80, if not more, and then you'll have a new system, and that's a good thing. See, now it's cold, and then it'll be warm, and, you know, that's they used to call that seasons. I don't know. I thought that's what they still called it. All right, let's do the trivia question sponsored by Texas Air King. Here we go. What is the last line, the last portion, the last line, last verse, but the last line in the 23rd Psalm? Now, the 23rd Psalm is the most popular psalm ever, okay? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I mean, the Lord is my shepherd is the most popular. The question is quite simply, what's the last line? Okay, what's the last line? Oh, that's it. There you go. All right, please, in the meantime, do not forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, don't forget about our website. Don't forget about giving. We're about 40% down, which is a lot, right? That's not a little. That's a lot. So if you can help out, great. If you can't, you can pray. Just like I'm praying for you, you can be praying for me. Keeping it simple as we can keep it. I don't like that manipulation kind of approach. Giving is important because of sowing and reaping in the kingdom of God, and the Lord will bless people who are generous. I mean, there's no way you can get out of that when you look at Galatians 6 and Philippians 4 and different texts like that. But the idea is to be a good steward. So be the best steward you can be before the Lord, no matter where you give it. Okay? That's fair. Okay. All right. This is David. Who am I talking to?
June.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
All right, now this is a great, I think it's a great question because the summation of Psalm 23 is wonderful. Here we go. What is the last line of Psalm 23?
I thought it was, I will live in the house of the Lord forever and ever.
That is correct. So it is, I will live in, I will dwell in. I will exist in,
dwell
I will
in
dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The summation is that. It's like, you know, it's all going to wrap up. I'm living in God's house. I don't have to worry about my house. I'm not worried about paying my apartment. I'm not worried about paying my rent. I'm not worried about paying my mortgage. I'm living in God's house. He's got a really big house. I can't wait. Excellent. Excellent job. Thank you so, so much. You did a great job.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye. And we got the greatest people. We got great people. And so, you know, Don reminded me. So we're going to be working on the 90-minute thing. Did he mention a raise to you or anything? He's got to mention something. I'm going to have to give him a hard time about
that. Yeah, he said, you know.
If you put up with
me. I told him about the raise, and he was just like, he's not going to do it, but you should.
All right, folks. So we're looking at doing 30 extra minutes, which means you're thinking I'm going to slow down when I talk. That's so cute. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Let's see. What did we cover? We covered the trivia. We covered that. We covered Texas Air King. We had somebody call in on the answer. We talked about HeMustIncrease.org. Don't forget, Erica just sent me an email today, and then we had Mary call in. We had other people text in. If you want to give some ideas on our show, you can either email David at HeMustIncrease.org, text, or even technically call in. We're just trying not to do it during the show. It's kind of the whole thing. Okay. I guess so much to share. I'm just like, blah. I will tell you this. In the fourth segment, I'm going to talk to you about something that happened yesterday at school, last night in school. I told T, I'm not a happy guy about it. You think I'm happy right now? Wait till we get to the fourth segment. You're going to be like, oh, Dave, you need help, Dave. Thank you for that play. It's very, very timely. Let's talk about this real quickly. I want to make sure you understand that we are commanded. It's not complex. We are commanded to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. The problem for some people is they don't want to have neighbors. They don't want to love. And I'm not, you know, people are talking about, well, you're talking about your neighbor next door. Your neighbor is anybody that God brings into your universe. You want to know who your neighbor is? That's who it is. It's easy to define it that way. It's almost like when they talk about sin, it becomes really complex when they start talking about the Greek word hamartia, which means to miss the mark, and hamartiology, and you know, it's all about sin. And it's like, here, I'll make it super easy for you on sin, and then I'll show you how the same thing works for your neighbor. Here it is. Anything that you say, do, think, exist in that's contrary to God, that's sin. Not that's different than God, okay? If you eat a banana, nobody cares. But if you do something, say something, see, think something, function something that's contrary to God, that's sin. That'll make it easier. That's missing the mark. Okay, well, then your neighbor, who's your neighbor? And people go, well, that's everybody on the planet. No, it isn't. That's not even what Jesus said. But it is anybody that God brings into your universe by whatever means that takes place. And we need to love one another because you can't fulfill the commandment to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind and to love your neighbor as yourself if you have no contact with anybody, right? I want to share with you how deep it can go. Do I think it will go this deep for all of you? Maybe not. But should it go this deep? Yes. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The intense prayer of a righteous man is very powerful. The righteous, you know, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Here's the bottom line. We are supposed to be so closely connected, just listen, that you can confess your sins to one another in confidence that nobody will ever say anything to anybody else about it, but that you can have absolute confidence in their confidentiality, in their faithfulness, and in their diligence to care and to love and to watch over you. That's how deep it should go, right? We're supposed to confess. And to confess, by the way, for those that are looking for something really dramatic and religious, it's just to be honest and to be real, okay, about sins. Okay, the things that are in our lives that are bad. Like if I say the phrase besetting sin, the thing that pops into your mind when I say besetting sin, that thing. And we're supposed to be able to do it to one another. Now, this is obviously less formal than a booth, Okay, we're not going to say much about the booth. I'm not a big fan of, you know, talking in the booth. I think the idea is to have engagement with other human beings, and it is important for us to find people, if we don't have them in our lives, that we can draw so close to them in Christian relationship that you can share what you're going through and that they can pray for you. And look what it says. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. You're praying for one another because you're joining the struggle. So somebody comes up and says, I have a really terrible time with pride. Let's just use pride because it seems safer than saying sexual problems. So let's just say pride. And you're saying, oh, I have a real big problem with pride. And you tell that person, then that person prays with you and for you. It doesn't go around saying, that person has a problem with pride. That person has a problem with pride. That's unfaithfulness. That's not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. They don't do that. But you need to have confidence that they're going to join in your struggle with you. Oh, Lord, I'm praying for my friend. He has pride. He's feeling it. Lord, don't crush him. Just let him see the wisdom and humility. You know what I'm saying? You pray like it's for you. Because if you have pride, you don't want God to crush you. I don't think you ever pray, oh, God, I'm full of pride. Crush me! It's like, don't pray that. That's a terrible prayer. Take the hammer and hit me on the head, Lord. No, 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 no. Well, that's how you ought to engage with one another. You know, this is the whole thing. The whole thing is that God is the one who's bringing us a redemption. And if you don't have people in your life that you can do that with, then my suggestion would be to bring it to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and to ask him to bring people in your life. Do they have to be people that come and sit down next to you and visit with you? Not necessarily. I don't care how it goes about, but it must happen that we could share that with one another so that you're not just carrying your heavy load that nobody else knows about by yourself. Because then it's weighing you down, and it's like, you don't want that. You want somebody else to get it. You want to be honest and real and say, hey, you know, this is terrible. I'm really upset about this. I do this, or this is what comes. Oh, I'm sitting in church and I'm like, oh my goodness, this stuff's so boring. I don't even care about God. I want to watch football. I don't care what it is. I'm trying to get you to focus on finding somebody that you can share that with, that you have a confidence with, that you can unload. Because it's not that confession is good for the soul. It's confession is good for you and that person to help you fight against the sin that you're struggling with. That's what it is. We don't need to use all those fancy little phrases, everybody. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, the whole universe should be bumper sticker oriented. Can it fit in a bumper sticker? Oh, then it's popular. Okay. Share it with one another. Pray, if you have somebody you can do that you feel safe with. If you don't, pray that God will bring somebody into your life that you can have safety with and let them help you. That's called being mature. Oh, yeah, there's that thing, isn't there? Yeah, okay. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
She thought he was a gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. Now you think three words. Come on, Dave. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher, or it doesn't matter if your translation says master, rabbi, it doesn't care. She said, Mary. She responded, Master, Lord. You see, the resurrected Jesus Christ speaks the name of his sheep. And Jesus knows your name. My sheep, Jesus said, know my voice, and they hear me. And you were going along in your journey, Maybe you were young and you were in church. Maybe you were young and somebody brought it to you. Maybe you were in the middle part of your life. Maybe in the later part of your life. But at some point, Jesus said your name. He said, David, Tierra, Tiffany, Noel, Joshua, Ashley. At some point, he called your name. The risen Messiah spoke your name to you. You know what? That's when you said, yes, Lord. Yes, Master. Yes, Rabboni. It's the most powerful moment because it's the moment that the divine Messiah speaks to you and pulls you from one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, into another kingdom, the kingdom of light. It is the moment that changed everything. And Billy Graham had a really good piece on it. Said some people can really define that moment, some people can't. Doesn't matter. It happened for those that, well, it was kind of like a metamorphosis, but it happened. And in the economy of God, it happens more specifically. And maybe the person doesn't know the date. I know my date, but maybe the person doesn't know the date that he said yes to Jesus. But there was a moment where Jesus called your name and you said yes. And that was the beginning of your understanding of his depth of love. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. That's one of my fave segs of all time. And I'll tell you something. I don't know why I'm sharing this, but I got to share this. So many, many years ago, the first time I taught that, now many years ago, as in like 39 years ago, 38 years ago, I taught that. Okay, like one of my earlier teachings about Jesus saying your name. And this person who was in the church grabbed my arm as I was walking past them after I had preached and said that really was important to me. That really meant a lot to me. And that was a great blessing. His name was Rudy Morales. And just in this last year, Rudy passed away. But what's cool is that he heard Jesus say, Rudy. And he said yes. It's just like, oh, praise the Lord. So he's in a better place now. I mean, he's doing a lot better. But if you just think about that, Jesus called Rudy's name. Rudy said yes. Traveled with the Lord for 38, 37 years. You know, it's like, that's so cool. I mean, that's you know, you get through all this stuff and you think it's the bank account or you even think it's I've heard this said and don't get mad at me. It's all about your legacy, or it's all about this, or all about this. It's like, it's all about the Lord going, howdy, Dave. Yep, here I am. That's what it's all about. Everything else is, who cares? I mean, this the whole earth's going to perish. I want the new one. You know, they want to Band-Aid the old one. I want a new one. Would you rather have a brand new car right off the lot or one that's been junked and put that together 90 times?
I want the brand new one.
I'll take the brand new one. Thank you. All right, let's get into this. Let's get into the trivia question. What was the name of the father who was struck dumb because of unbelief until his son was born? What was the name of the father who was struck dumb? That's kind of a weird phrasing, struck dumb. But struck dumb, he couldn't talk. Because of his unbelief, what he had heard, and couldn't talk until his son was born. If you know that answer, you're welcome to reach out to us. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, don't forget that. The Facebook is back up. I'm on it. But I have not posted anything or done anything. I'm just back on it, just to let you know. The YouTube is back up. The Facebook is back up. LinkedIn is up. And all the rest of it's up. It's all up. It's up. Okay. Right. Okie dokie. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Jean.
Hi, Gene. How are you?
Fine.
Okay, here we go. Okay. Classic. And you know, we're getting closer to the Christmas time, so I bet you can appreciate that. What was the name of the father who was struck dumb because of unbelief until his son was born?
It was John the Baptist's father, wasn't it, Zechariah?
That is correct! That is absolutely right. John the Baptist's dad, he was like, well, it's so great. I can't wait to actually teach this. We'll get into it. But the real difference between Mary and Zechariah was when Zechariah had that all that happen, he said, how do I know you're real? And Mary said, how are you going to do it? And that's the big difference between those two. Mary was like, I don't know how you're going to pull that off. And then, but Zechariah was like, I don't know if I believe you. And that's a big difference between two people. Excellent job. Very, very good work. Excellent. Thank you so much.
God bless.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, good work. Yeah, we'll get into that. We got our Christmas stuff. I have all these different things. Now, just don't get mad at me. Right? Is that my famous line? Don't get mad at me. Right? The manger scene didn't happen. Don't get mad at me. I didn't build mangers and sell them and make $50 billion worldwide. The wise men didn't see Jesus until Jesus was roughly about two. But that's besides the point. Remember, the star landed over the house, not the stable. All right, so we'll deal with that another time. Let's get into the text. I think we've covered everything. Got the website. We've got our trivia. Got everybody. Don't forget, if you got some ideas for the show, we want you to participate in that. We want you to be blessed. We want you to be radiant in the Lord and let him just strengthen you and empower you. Don't worry about all of the worldly things. They will all perish. But the Lord, his working in you, will endure forever. Isn't that cool? All right. And then pray for us tonight. Deb and Noelle and I have a board meeting, and hopefully it won't be boring. It'll just be a board meeting for He Must Increase Ministry. Here we go. So yesterday we talked about knowing the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. I think a really important teaching, and if you didn't hear it, you should get the podcast. You should go to the website and click on it and hear it, because it's important to understand that differential. Now I want to do that exact same thing in the same book, the next few verses that have to do with knowing God and knowing love and knowing the difference between what is and is not correct in that process. 1 John 4:7-9. Keep in mind, this is my take on it. I don't have the definitive word. I have a word on it, not the word on it. But I'm going to read you the word. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. So a lot of people will take this text, God is love, well-known text, and they'll say, oh, you have to put up with everything that I do because God is love, and love means you have to put up with everything I do. Keep in mind, of course, the first message from Jesus Christ to earth was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So everybody who's defining love based on the world's definition, that's super, super, super interesting, but super, super, super wrong. Love is from God, because God isn't just one who loves, but part of his existence is love. But it needs to be defined, and God defines it. Here's how God defines it. God defines his love in this. God's love was revealed, so it was something that could be experienced or seen. It was revealed when he sent his one and only Son. So the revelation of the love that comes from God has to do with revealing it and with sending it. In other words, sending it to somebody, and that we might live through him. Listen to what the passage says. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Jesus. Love is defined by God as the opportunity to live through Jesus. That's biblical love. People come up with a, and listen, there's nothing wrong with, well, don't forget agape. Don't forget phileo. Don't forget eros. Don't forget all the different loves. Don't forget, you know, the phileo and the brotherly love. Uh-huh. Here's what God says to you and I. It's defined that God has given you and I the opportunity to live through Jesus Christ. That's how God is defining love. It's not about our little feelings. Oh, my little feelings. It's not about accountability or lack of accountability. It's not about deferment of responsibility. It's not about blindness or lack of restraint. It's understanding that God has demonstrated what love is. You and I and everybody else who chooses can live through Jesus Christ. God did that while we were all mashugi. And that's pretty cool because we didn't deserve it and we still don't deserve it. Then he takes it to the next step because that's how God does things. 1 John 4:10 through 11, love consists in this, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. And then you think, love one another how? Exactly what the passage says. You take the initial action and you are sacrificial to others. That's what love is. Love is not anywhere defined as you accept everybody's sin. It doesn't even exist. God doesn't accept everybody's sin. In fact, the whole point is that Jesus is the propitiation, which means the sacrifice, which means he's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. God doesn't ignore people's sins. He dealt with the judicial aspect of sin by sacrificing Jesus Christ. So when people go, well, God doesn't really, he doesn't really care about your sin. He set the whole thing up through Jesus so that in spite of our sin, through faith, we can receive the grace given by God because of our sin. That is exactly what God cares about, specifically. And then we're sitting there going, well, he doesn't really care. Yes, he does. If he didn't care, Jesus would not have had to die, period. And so we see from this passage, dear friends, look at this. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. God takes the initiating. And sent his son to be the propitiation, the sacrifice. So he not only takes the initial action, he sacrifices for our sin. That's how we're supposed to love one another. Take the initiative, be sacrificial. Recognize that all life is through Jesus. See, that's a lot different than, oh, well, don't care if they do this and do that. See, John the Baptist, first message, repent. Jesus, first message, repent. Peter, first message, repent. Paul, in the explanation of his first message, repent. All the prophets sent by God to turn Israel from their sin. Repent, 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 repent. Why did he do it? Because he loved them and wanted them to come back to him. That's what love is. That's the love when the person's sitting out on the dock of the bay, so to speak, that you reel them back in. But you let them know, hey, you got to come this way. Got to get off that dock. Got to come in to the house. Oh, man, I love stuff like that. Anyway, we'll just take a break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Thanks for listening to David Spoon on KAAM. Bible trivia is sponsored by Texas Air King, the coolest company in Texas. Trust the AC coach to take care of your heating and cooling needs. Call or visit him online today at texasairking.com.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. thrilled to have you on the show. It's
my privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, the love of many will grow cold. And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. It is a moment just like right now that I am thankful that the show is going to be expanding,
because
I could really spend like a whole segment talking about one thing, but I don't have time to talk about it. So it's not yet, not yet. That's all I can say. Here we go for the trivia. Let's start off with that. Make sure you got that. This is a little harder, not a lot harder. And anytime I give you a trivia, I'm not telling you you can't look it up in your Bible, but I just don't want you to Google the answer just because it's like way too much circumventing, or don't Bing it, or don't any of the other things. Just look it up in your Bible. Look it up in a concordance. All right, what was the name of the tree that Adam and Eve were told not to eat from? It had a name, and its name was not Ira. So try and figure out what the name of the tree is. Don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. I got to be the first person in the world to ever call that tree Ira. I'm going to go with that. I don't think anybody's ever done that before. I just got to say, I've never heard anybody do that. I'm just saying on tape, I just, you know, his name is Ira. Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
It's Gene.
Hi, Gene. How are you? All right, now here we go. Now, I already said the name is not Ira, so that's one name off the list out of 5 billion. All right, what is the name of the tree that we're talking about?
Knowledge of good and evil.
That is correct! Boy, you're on fire! Boy, you're on fire! And what's amazing that people don't recognize, it is kind of really one of those really interesting elements, that man in many ways has gained knowledge in things that are good, but has also gained knowledge in things that are evil and continues to do so. Isn't that weird? It's like, wow, that's still going on from back in the day. It's like, wow. All right, excellent job. Thank you, my lady. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
All right, God bless you.
God bless.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, here we go. We're going to go into history right away because of our time. So, because there's one that I got to do. It's really important. Go ahead.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
Okay, this could be the most important of all the holidays that we've ever discussed in regards to secular holidays. It's National Brownie Day. My fave. Yes, my wife, she'll tell you, that is my, I love brownies. And then if I didn't tell you this, I want to tell you this. It's also National Brownie Day. Oh, did I already say that? It's like.
All right.
For those that want to be aware of it, it's National Day of Lard. I don't know how that connects to National Brownie Day. You know, we did that whole thing, the lard has been good to me kind of thing. But it's National Day of Lard. I can't do much about that. And Toilet Paper Appreciation Day. I don't think anybody can disagree over this last year that is probably well worth noting. And then technically, it's National Christmas Tree Day. You just kind of have to work that out. And here is something that's funny. I was talking about sitting on the dock of the bay. On this day in 1967, the dock of the bay, Otis Redding finished recording his hit song. He actually died 2 days later in a plane crash over Wisconsin, but the song was released after his death, becoming the first posthumously released song to reach number one. And so a lot of people didn't know that. So I thought I'd just kind of share that with you. A great song. That was a great song. But as Christians, you can't be just sitting way out there. You got to come back in. All right, let's we covered everything, right? Okay, let me do this teaching. So I'm super guilty of this sin that I'm about to share with you. I'm not kind of guilty. In the last 24 hours, it's amazing, but I really am really, really guilty of this. All right, Job 38:4, okay? This is what Job 38:4. You should, if you don't have this, this would be one to mark by itself so as to remind you, okay? Here's what the Lord said to Job. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Gosh, I read that, I cringe, okay? And here's another verse 12, just about 8 verses later. Have you ever in your life commanded the morning or caused the dawn to know its place? Okay, so this is all in lieu of blaming God. And let me explain to you where this comes from, because I know I'm the only Christian ever to blame God, me and Job, and say to the Lord, what are you doing? So I was telling T when we first started this show, I finished my paper. I'm on my last class. I have this new program that's starting in January. I had one paper left. I'll just posting and quiz and whatever, and sailing my way to an A. I got my grade back from my paper. It was the single worst grade on a paper I have gotten, wait, in 8 years, 7.5 years. I was livid. I'm just being honest. And I was like, I go through all of the points that the professor wrote. He was wrong. He was actually wrong on three of them. I've even written him a letter asking him to review it with these things in mind, although I did. But guess who I blamed first? How, God, can you let this happen on my last paper? See, this is the type of thing you think, well, I never do that. We do it all the time in the dumbest areas. Now, let's acknowledge this real quick. This is a dumb area. It's a dumb sin. But it's something that we often do in the dumbest ways. Lord, why did you let that happen? And it could be the most ridiculous thing. Oh, I can't believe that light turned red. Thanks a lot, Lord. What? That parking space got taken up. How could my water bill be $120? I thought you gave water freely. It doesn't matter what it is. Don't you realize what we do? We foolishly charge God. And even if it's something huge or small. In Job's case, it was huge. I mean, his kids were taken. All of his entire life was taken. And the Lord's response is, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? a thought in the back of your mind, maybe? You know, it's like, because there's no answer. In regards to blaming God, Job 40, 51 through 4 says, then the Lord said to Job, will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? Let him who reproves God answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am insignificant. What can I reply to you? I lay my hand on my mouth. And so here's the answer that Job figured out after this whole thing. Sometimes you just shut it. Ready? Watch this. Shut it. www.shutit.com. Because why? Because we blame God without that secondary process of reasoning. Because man has always blamed God. Because that's easier than taking personal responsibility or believing the best from God. And we do it all the time. And don't, my situation, minimum, super duper 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 minimum, nothing. But take it from that minimum all the way up to Job's case and then look in between it all and see if you've ever fallen along those lines. And if you have, which I know most of you have, take your hand, put it on your mouth and say, I am insignificant. I should not even reply. Because it's one thing for us to, you know, blame God in our frustration and our anger and then take it back and acknowledge. It's another thing to blame God and just let it sit there. That's wrong. And God's response to Job, by the way, four verses later, will you condemn me that you may be justified? In other words, God's wonderful way of saying it is, who are you? And where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Whoops. And so I'm telling you this and sharing this with you so that you can join me in saying, I got to do better than blaming the Lord. That's not only immature, it's dishonoring. Lord, you are always right. Thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy. That is what we should be saying. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Most of my life it feels like I've been running.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.